First of all, how transparent is the process of political donations?
Political donations are actually appallingly opaque.
Wow.
One of the most frightening study is actually that the numbers are so big, when actually we know that only about 15% of the major parties' privately sourced income is transparently declared.
Oh my goodness.
So the numbers that have come out of this study today are bad, and against the backdrop of how opaque the system is, they're really quite awful.
Yeah. So compared to the rest of the world, how tightly are these industries regulated in Australia?
Political donations in Australia are really poorly regulated. That we've actually got, we've got one of the worst or the most lax political at the federal level. Like, we've had big reforms at the state level, but at the federal level, we've got some of the most lax regulations around political donations in the developed world.
Is there any hard data to suggest that lobbying by these industries has a direct effect on the health of the general public? For example, alcohol-related deaths as a result of the increase in donations when the Alcopop bills was being debated?
So there's a couple of leaps here. First is there's the money to the policy outcome, and then the policy outcome to the health outcome. And I can't speak to the policy outcome, how many deaths does it lead to? I can't really speak to that. But to the question of, do the donations result in reforms that certainly public health advocates consider to be pro-industry rather than pro-public health, absolutely, they have that consequence.
Mm. Is it likely that we will ever see reforms regarding the political donations at all?
Look, I think absolutely we should expect to. But I think one of the things that's fascinating at the moment, I think the story broke just yesterday that the coalition that Malcolm Turnbull had been intending on introducing the federal ICAC, a federal anti-corruption body, that they were all ready to go on it before the Turnbull spill, but since the spill, the coalition is now backpedaling on that, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that story plays out. But generally, we know when we look around the world, what you generally need you need a big scandal, which then brings on really significant reform. When we look even around Australia, the states that have the best rules are the ones that have had the really bad corruption scandals. So really, I think there's a lot of signs of things that are really on the nose at the federal level at the moment, and we've almost got to push one of those to the point of critical mass that we get a big enough scandal to have the reforms brought in.
And how does that kind of push happen?
Well, this is sort of the great challenge in this space, is we don't have the data to be able to identify the scandal, and we need the scandal to be able to get the law changes to have the data. But there is, I think this is something that we just need to keep. We need to keep pushing on. But I think certainly, there was a lot of noise about when the pokies reform went through that, enormous amounts of money were suddenly changing hands over that. But I think each time we can identify, whenever these big policy debates happen, but I think we just need to keep pushing on the politicians that this is unacceptable. And I think it's good to see that we have seen movement in this space, that the Labor Party has committed to bringing in a corruption watchdog if they win office, and we'll have to make sure that, if that happens, that a lot of pressure is applied to hold them to account on doing that. But I think there is scope for movement. I think there's scope for movement in the wake of the Banking Royal Commission, that there are sort of really significant questions to be asked around the fact that the banks were so scandal-plagued for so long and the politicians did so little about it. And I think that, that the public outrage is sort of reaching a level at the moment about this, but at some point the politicians are going to turn around and realise that there's a competitive advantage in responding to the public outrage about it.
Yes, well, hopefully that realisation comes sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Edwards.
No problem. You're welcome.